Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of April, 2014. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, right here on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we post the program within about an hour of its conclusion for the podcast, so you can listen to the program on your schedule anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. We have a full lineup as usual. Our monthly contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, will get us rolling on this Wednesday afternoon. At about half past noon, we will be talking about downtown parking. It has been a big issue. We'll get an update from Donovan Durbin. Donovan heads up the city's ParkWise program. Then one of the half dozen or so candidates for governor, Christine Jones. She was the chief legal counsel for the Scottsdale-based GoDaddy company. She's a Republican candidate for governor, one of about a half a dozen. She'll join us to close out the show. But right now, we welcome Dr. Victoria Mazes, an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona, in addition to facilitating the growth of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She helped develop its curriculum and pioneered multiple educational innovations, including integrative family medicine and integrative medicine in residency, both national models for educating future primary care physicians. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Her new book is Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Victoria, Dr. Mazes, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. I like a little chocolate here and there, and I guess the mystery has finally been solved about why chocolate is good for us.
Yes. So, you know, I think lots of your listeners will know that dark chocolate is good for you. That's not white chocolate. It's not milk chocolate. It's dark chocolate, which we usually say at least 70% cacao. But we finally got the answer as to why, and it goes to the gut and the microbiome, which you and I have talked about, the healthy bacteria and sometimes the unhealthy bacteria. So it turns out that the healthy bacteria in the gut are actually able to ferment the dark chocolate and produce anti-inflammatory compounds that are heart protective.
Wow. I mean, that that is certainly good news. And again, it is the cacao, 70% or more, and it's readily available. You can see it. Most supermarkets now have, they show you the content.
They do. They show you the percent. And actually, the lead researcher, John Finley, said if you want to avoid the sugar and the fat that's in chocolate, although it is a healthy fat, he actually recommends that you take 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, just unsweetened cocoa powder,
really?
And he mixes it into his oatmeal. So that's a little tip for your listeners.
Uh-huh. I have that at home that I use on occasion for hot chocolate, the real stuff.
The real stuff. And, that real stuff has catechins in it, which is something that we find also in green tea.
Wow.
And it has fiber in it, and that's what's important in terms of having this beneficial effect on the heart. They have actually found that when you eat chocolate, you are able to make the platelets less sticky, and you increase the flexibility of arteries, and these have a beneficial effect on the heart.
Well, I wonder how that is going to taste, because I am one of the oatmeal, I'm the oatmeal person,
uh-huh.
And I sprinkle a couple of healthy doses of cinnamon on there. Cinnamon is good for you if you got the right kind.
Well, actually, all kinds of cinnamon are good for you, and it helps you manage blood sugar. I also put in my oatmeal, which I enjoy when it's cold. It's
got
getting a little warm now.
Got two oatmeal people here, Rose. Rose, should we make it three? Are you okay, Rose agrees. We've got three.
Anyway, I actually like to put in also some ginger, and I actually chop up crystallized ginger, which gives it a little bite, and it's it's anti-inflammatory, put a little cardamom in, which is another anti-inflammatory herb, and the cinnamon like you do.
Wow.
So now I'm going to have to see how chocolate oatmeal tastes.
Yeah, I'm going to try that tomorrow morning, sprinkle down there. But if you don't want to go that route, you can buy, of course, the bars, the chocolate bars, and they usually are, they have little squares.
Yes.
So my next question to you would be, what would be considered a healthy dose?
Well, he says a daily dose. 2 tablespoons. So probably it's about 2 squares. But, you know, other types of chocolate have been studied as well. Like there was an article last year in the journal Neurology that showed that when people who had just a little bit of cognitive problem, elderly people with a little bit of impaired blood flow in their brains, if they drank 2 cups of hot chocolate a day, they studied them for a month, they actually had increased blood flow and they performed better on tests of cognitive function. So it's not only, chocolate as a bar, and other things that have these beneficial compounds, like a little bit of red wine, tea, as I mentioned earlier, and berries are also sources of these flavonoids and, you know, are also going to have a beneficial effect on our health.
Well, I do put a mixed berry, a dried mixed fruit berry on my oatmeal as well.
Absolutely fabulous. So, you get those anthocyanins, and fresh berries are in season now. We like to do organic if you're doing strawberries or blueberries. If you can, they're more expensive, I know, but they have much less pesticides.
So that's going to be an interesting combination tomorrow. Oatmeal, cinnamon, the berries, and then the chocolate.
Yes, it sounds delicious to me.
Yeah, I'll report to you, Dr. Mays, for our next visit. 790-2040, 790-2040. Any questions or comments? We've been talking about chocolate, and I actually read that they're going to start having these cacao in capsules, but I think, why would you want to necessarily do that when you could eat a chocolate
bar? Well, I'm with you. There is going to be this 4-year study where they're going to have people take chocolate, and I, as medicine... But if I'm taking chocolate as a medicine, I would like to fully taste it.
There you go. So let's move from chocolate over to really a fascinating... Is this lecture tonight?
The Cindy Wool Memorial Lecture is going to be tonight at the Marriott. And it happens each year. And this year, a husband and wife team have been invited to speak. Jerome Groopman is a physician who you may be familiar with. He's written articles in The New Yorker. And together with his wife, Pam Hartsband, who's also an endocrinologist at Harvard, they co-authored Your Medical Mind. And it's a very interesting book about medical decisions. And, you know, there's this myth that medicine is straightforward and that everybody, given the information, would make the same decision. But that's simply not true. And in integrative medicine, we make a lot of effort to try to understand someone's belief system and their preferences. Some people like pretty minimal intervention. Other people want everything possible done. Some people like more natural. Other people like high science and the most scientific approach. And so we're not all alike.
And we have a couple of quick calls I want to take, Rose, before the break, and then we'll come back and talk some more about this lecture tonight and this book. Their new book, by the way, is called Your Medical Mind. But first of all, Rose, why don't we actually take the break now, and then we'll come back to the calls, and then we'll pick up again on this new book. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Wow.
widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Victoria Mays is joining us, our contributor on health. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Ingrid wants to bring up a question about chocolate. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hello. Doctor, would you be able to tell us how to avoid the production of air in the intestines that chocolate is alleged to produce?
Well, I don't know if that's a side effect that everybody has, but I would wonder whether it is in a milk chocolate, because there are lots of people who do have a bit of either lactose deficiency, where they don't digest the milk very well. So I would lean towards trying the cocoa powder that we talked about earlier, or a dark chocolate with no milk in it, and see whether you do better.
Yeah, because the milk, obviously, if someone has the lactose intolerance, and Dr. Mays's, that's very common.
It is. Most mammals actually only drink milk during their infancy and early childhood until they're weaned. And we actually, for the most part, lose the enzymes that allow us to digest milk. And so getting bloated or gassy after having dairy is relatively common.
790-2040, 790-2040 for comments or questions for Dr. Victoria Mazes. Before the break, Dr. Mazes, we were talking about a book, and I'm going to get a hold of this book. This sounds really fascinating. It's titled Your Medical Mind, and it's by Drs. Jerome Krupman and his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pamela, Dr. Pamela Hartsband. And they've written extensively about, their previous book was titled, it was a bestseller in 2007, How Doctors Think.
Mm-hmm.
But this book, Your Medical Mind, we talked a little bit about kind of the minimalists on mm-hmm. the medical side, and those, the maximists or whatever, those that would say perhaps they have been told they're maybe they have prostate cancer. And rather than do what is commonly referred to as watchful waiting, the people that want, they want treatment right now, and they want to get the cancer out of their system.
Right. So actually, doctors Grubman and Hartsband devote a whole chapter to prostate cancer, because it's a very good example of the complexity of making decisions. In general, prostate cancer is something that grows slowly, and more men die with it than of it. And the studies about the benefit of prostate surgery in terms of preventing a death, the number needed to treat is very, very high. In other words, you need to treat many, many men in order to prevent one death from prostate cancer. So if treating men had no side effect, you'd say, well, we should do it. We should treat everyone. But it turns out that up to 50% of men will have a very significant side effect, either impotence or incontinence. Most men would consider both of those quite devastating side effects. And so it's not that you're deciding between something that has clear benefit and no risks. We're always deciding between risks and benefits. And actually, because of the side effects of treatment of prostate cancer, the United States Preventive Task Force came out against recommending this PSA test. It's very hard if you have a PSA and then you have a biopsy and follow-up, and that urologist says to you, you have prostate cancer, to not be treated. We are uncomfortable with the idea that we have cancer in us, even if the likelihood is that it will never do you any harm. And yet, we have to weigh in that other side of the formula, which is, what is the harm of the treatment?
Well, in the book, they talk about a 2004 study. For every 48 prostate surgeries performed, only one patient benefits. The other 47 patients would have lived just as long without surgery.
Yes, and that study is now 10 years old, of course, but there have been many, many subsequent studies that basically show the same thing, that it's not that it never helps anyone, but the number needed to treat is relatively high. You have to treat many people to prevent one death, and the side effects and harms of the treatment are quite significant. So some people would decide I still want to be treated. I want aggressive treatment. Other people would look at that very same data, the exact same studies, and say, I don't want any chance that I'm going to suffer from impotence. I don't want any chance that I'm going to suffer from incontinence. And they're going to make the decision differently. They're going to say, I am going to follow this very carefully with exams and with PSA testing. And if there's any sign that the cancer is becoming more aggressive, I will then be treated. But in the interim, I'm going to lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm going to lower the fat in my diet. I'm going to avoid meat. I'm going to get good amounts of exercise. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep that cancer in check in a more natural lifestyle approach, as opposed to by cutting it out with a surgery.
The authors also talk about prescription medication, widely prescribed prescription medication, and they talk about one particular drug that would reduce your risk of fatal illness by 50%.
Yes. And so, you know, a lot of times we get what we call the relative risk reduction. And you see this all the time if you watch television, because there's lots of direct-to-consumer advertising. You'll hear those statistics. You know, people who take this medicine have a 50% less likelihood of fill in the blank. But what they usually don't talk about is that it's not 100% likely that someone's going to get a condition. So, for example, if you have a condition that, say, 2 people in 1,000 get, mm-hmm. and you're able to reduce the risk to 1 person in 1,000, that's a 50% reduction in risk. And it sounds impressive. It cuts the risk in half. But the reality is that we also need to know that absolute risk reduction, which in the example I just gave is 1 in 1,000. You went from a 2 in 1,000 chance to a 1 in 1,000 chance. So you reduced your risk by 1 in 1,000. And most people, when they hear that, say, not so fast.
Yeah, so presented that way,
right,
going from to a risk of 1 in 1,000, then you weigh the risk of what are the side effects of the particular medication you have been prescribed.
Absolutely true. So you want to know the number needed to treat, which is how many people have to be treated for one person to have benefit, but you also want the opposite side of the coin, the number needed to harm, which is how many people might have side effects from this particular medicine. Are the side effects some things that pass, or could any of them be permanent? In the book, the doctors give the example of a particular statin drug, which,
yes,
they basically say that the number needed to treat would be 300. So 300 people take it, one heart attack is prevented. But for this statin, there's a 5% chance of side effects. So essentially, for those 300 people, you're going to expect 5%. So that would be 15 people to have some kind of side effect.
Which can be severe muscle and joint pain and gastrointestinal problems.
That's right. So one person benefits. The benefit can be very significant, not having a heart attack. 15 people potentially are harmed. And these are the kinds of complex situations that we're often in medicine as we're trying to make medical decisions. So if this is a topic that you find intriguing, you might like reading the book.
And again, the name of the book is Your Medical Mind. The authors, Drs. Jerome Groopman and Dr. Pamela Hartzman, and it's a new book, and it's fascinating because everyone has to be their best. Be your best cheerleader for medical treatment. You have to be the best consumer you can be.
Yes. So essentially, you have to look within and say, how much risk am I willing to tolerate? How much side effect might I be willing to tolerate? What about the pain, difficulty, inconvenience of a surgery versus living with the pain, inconvenience, difficulty of the condition I have? And so there is not one right answer for everyone. We're all going to make those decisions a bit differently. And again, in integrative medicine, we work with people to help them sort where their beliefs are, where their preferences are, and what's right for them in particular.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much for being with us. We'll look forward to your next visit. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director for the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Of course, that's the center that was founded by Dr. Andrew Weil. Dr. Mazes, good to see you, and thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
All right. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the weather, ocean, energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting Ocean and Rainforest Gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where they encourage you, and I do as well, to take a trip road trip, three and a half hours east of Tucson to Silver City. So much to do. You can hike along the Gila, the Continental Divide. You've got the Gila Cliff Dwellings just north of Silver City. Really a rich Western history in that area of southwest New Mexico. Great places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel and Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find the list of places to stay and things to do on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Donovan Durbin. Mr. Durbin is the ParkWise Program Administrator for the Department of Transportation for the City of Tucson. Donovan, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Let's start with the last time you were on the show, we were talking about parking tickets in the downtown area. The council continues to meet about fine-tuning and revising the fee structure. Is that kind of where it is right now?
Well, they have not met yet. They're expected to meet in May and take their first look at it. And so we're preparing background information for them and expected to go on the agenda in May. And then our ParkWise Commission, which is a advisory body made up of stakeholders from business districts in our primary area, downtown, 4th Avenue, Main Gate, as well as the Chamber and neighborhoods. That group has volunteered to be a resource in really kind of examining very closely the parking codes and whether or not the particular offenses are correspond with an appropriate fine level, and so that the punishment meets the seriousness of the offense or not, and again looking at other cities and so forth, and we'll also be looking at how we collect the fines and if there's better ways to do that and so forth.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a parking concern or a question, Donovan Durbin is here, and he would be happy to entertain your thoughts. With the modern streetcar, I think the grand opening is now just really a couple of months away, right?
115 days is what I heard. It's July. The target date is July 25th for
how many hours?
Service.
115 days and 15 hours. No, you know exactly where it is coming up. And of course, there's been some concern about parking along the route, and some of your thoughts, Donovan Durbin, about the compatibility of parking and the modern streetcar.
Well, if you look at like Main Gate, you've got back-end parking along University. I think it's fine. People back in so they can see what they're pulling out, to see bicycles passing or the streetcar. It's all kind of in front of them. I don't think that's an issue. Fourth Avenue, there's parallel parking along both sides. And there's not a huge distance between the tracks and the cars, but the parked cars, but there's certainly enough that there's no physical conflict between the streetcar and the cars on 4th Avenue. The issue there is more about, there's concerns about bicycle safety, and if you open your car door, there's not a whole lot of room for the bicycles to travel. The issues we've seen that were covered extensively in the TV media last month were there were a couple incidents where on Congress Street, there's just a handful of spaces where the tracks are close to some parked some parallel parking spaces, and they just happen to be, kind of in the heart of the Congress Street, business district, and retail areas. Some of those tight spots, for example, are in front of the Chicago store, which, there's been talk about, why don't you just give them up? The general manager of the Chicago store went to the trouble of doing a little mock-up for us of a suggested sternly worded sign that we would say, look, you better park your car within these lines because you don't want to, affect the travel of the streetcar. Otherwise, we're going to tow you.
Right.
And actually, we were in the process of working on such signs, and they're going to be installed today. We've been working with the attorney's office as the appropriate wording. But my point is that those on-street spaces are very valuable in a retail district. The 4th Avenue merchants don't want to give up their parking spaces.
Right.
They don't have any garages there other than Centro, through the underpass. The Congress Street merchants want to keep them as well because they're, you know, they're a scarce resource from a retail standpoint. And so, you know, like I said, the manager there went to the trouble of doing that to say, look, you know, I want you to explore every alternative before you take the parking away.
Right.
It's valuable to him.
It's valuable to him and to his business.
Right. And that's what we're there for. We're really here to provide, you know, convenient, accessible parking to enable viable business districts and to serve customers and the businesses.
What's this about? I hear about something called a smart meter.
Yeah, we're, you know, with the streetcar coming, we're trying to elevate the quality and the customer service of all the elements of the parking experience as well. So we can kind of have a grand unveiling downtown this July. So we're investing quite a bit of money in the next few months to upgrade the garage facilities as far as the revenue control, the access control, so people can have a smooth in and out experience. And then the smart meters they're smart because they give many options for people to make their payment. You're not restricted to how many quarters you can find in your pocket. If you've got a credit card or a debit card, you can pay very easily through that method. We'll have stored value cards. We'll also enable you to pay through your smartphone. There'll be a smartphone app where you can actually find on-street parking and then pay for it through that method. And you could actually get a text message that'll tell you when your time is about to expire, and you could extend your time a little bit so you can avoid getting a ticket.
The garages, you've been talking about some upgrades coming there too as well?
Yeah, well, we have garages ranging in age from 3 years to 31 years. And
how many garages do you have?
We have six. One of them is just really for city employees at the Tucson Water Building, but we have five that are really public garages. And the city-state garage over by the freeway is it's 31 years old now, and it really is the gates, the card readers, all those sorts of systems, they're long overdue for replacement. You know, they just don't work very well. So, you know, we have hundreds of, you know, downtown employees who park in those garages, and they want to, you know, they need to have a smooth in and out experience. Otherwise, it frustrates them, and that's understandable. So we're trying to get past that, and we also serve a lot of nighttime and weekend parking activity, you know, around Congress Street with the restaurants and the bars and the special events. And so we get a lot of people coming in and out, you know, close to the same time. So we get a lot of that peak activity. We want to make sure that people can come in smoothly and quickly, find their parking, go to the restaurant, whatever they're going to do. And then when they come back, they can leave without, having to wait in line to pay or anything like that. So Donovan, all those improvements really make, I think, for a smoother customer parking experience.
Donovan Durbin is with us. He's the ParkWise Program Administrator for the Department of Transportation in the city. Do you have any idea how many, you probably do, how many parking places there are in your garages? And how is that comparable to other downtown areas that would be our size?
Well, we have about 3,000 in our six garages. Between the six, the county has some garages, and there's some private garages, and so there's about 7,000 garage parking spaces downtown, and there's about 15,000 overall parking spaces if you include on street and parking lots as well as the garages within the kind of greater downtown area. As far as how that compares, I mean, I think we certainly have an ample supply. We've got certainly enough to service downtown employees and, you know, for the foreseeable future during the daytime. And but we are seeing the garages on the East End, they're starting to fill up on the weekends. And that, you know, that's obviously a very positive sign for downtown. We've actually seen a 46% increase from year over year over the last 6 months.
Really? Not much.
Compared to those months in the previous year. So coming out of the streetcar construction, we've seen, you know, new restaurants opening and so forth, and it's been a really strong increase at Centro and Depot Plaza and Pennington Garages. So I think that's a good indicator. And you know, they fill up occasionally, but we'll meet the demand through other ways. We've got other garages as well. So
cost of parking downtown is comparable to other cities?
It's we're on the affordable side. Put it nicely, we're cheap. You know, we're very affordable. You can park in the central garage right now all day for $3 during the week.
Wow! That's, so even though the tickets can be on the pricey side, but if you don't get a ticket, and
well, if you park in a garage, there's no reason why you'd ever get a ticket.
No, you wouldn't get a ticket. No. So if you park in a garage, you're going to save some money.
Yeah, and the on-street parking is cheap. You know, it's cheap here in Tucson.
I mean, some cities can charge $40 a day, easy,
right,
for parking in a garage.
Right, and in most of our garages, it's hourly during the week, basically $1 an hour. But you know, we have that flat rate at Centro; it's $3 all day.
So, with business up about 46%, that helps the revenue for the city, obviously, right?
Well, we're sort of a special fund. We're not quite officially an enterprise like Tucson Water, but We are separate from the general fund in that we don't get any funding from the general fund, and they generally don't, although they're taking an administrative fee, I guess, next year from us, but they generally we're expected to cover our costs with self-generated revenues and you know, be self-sufficient.
So. All right. Donovan Durbin, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Christine Jones is coming up next. She is a candidate for governor, a Republican. One of, I think there are about six candidates running for governor, something like that, six or seven. We'll talk with her right after this.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's really amazing the progress we're seeing in downtown Tucson, thanks to popular hotspots like Historic Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. Now, here's someone who really knows all about great events.
Hi, this is David Sleuths, Entertainment Director for Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We host over 350 events a year in downtown Tucson, from signature events like the Tucson Beer Championship and Agave Fest, to rock, jazz, comedy performances, weddings, company holiday parties, art openings, lectures. Heck, you name it, we do it. And when we need help, we turn exclusively to the Arizona Party team. No one comes close to their professionalism and resources. We've asked a lot of crazy things from them, often at very short notice, and they always say, we can do that. And you know what? They do it. Oh, I'll trip them up one day, but I haven't yet. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Yeah, we're kind of untrippable at Arizona Party Rental. Come on by and visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. It is exactly 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're also live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Let's welcome now one of the half dozen or so Republican candidates for governor in the state of Arizona, Christine Jones, joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Christine is the former chief legal counsel. She was the first counsel for the Scottsdale-based GoDaddy, the world's largest domain name registrar. Christine, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill. I'm great. Actually, I guess it's afternoon by now. I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for asking. You have been on quite a tour around the state trying to take
the... In fact, right now I'm coming to you from the lovely garden spot of Clifton in Greenlee County. And I have to say, it is a beautiful day over here on the east side of the state.
You know, I was looking at the website, the Christine Jones for actually ChristineJones.com website. You poll your folks that visit the website and you ask, oh, there's about a dozen issues here. You say, what are the most important issues to you? Things like protecting health care, growing the economy, cutting taxes, protecting the Second Amendment freedoms, making government more efficient, reducing crime, stopping illegal immigration, and some more issues. What are the issues that are popping up as the biggest concerns?
Well, the ones you'll hear me talk about a lot are economic development and excellence in education and enforcement of immigration law. But I have to say, if you took the survey on the website, the single most common thing we get from people is, let's do something about immigration. And then I'd say the second thing comes in the form of the Second Amendment. But really, in my experience with traveling around the state, the reason people take Second Amendment as one of their top issues is because they're just looking for somebody to defend the Constitution, and that's a way to get at that notion that we have a Constitution for a reason, and we want somebody to stand up and fiercely defend it for us. And so that particularly has resonated with people. In fact, you might have seen, if you've been on my website, I'm getting ready to go over this afternoon and do my 11th Second Amendment event of the campaign over in Clifton, and those have been very popular because people are just a little frustrated with the politics as usual and giving away power to the federal government.
And of course, creating new jobs is also one of the issues that you ask folks about. And what is the Christine Jones solution to that big one?
It's huge. And as you say, everybody wants to talk about it because most people want to work, which is a good sign. And my approach there is very much like what we did at GoDaddy. When I joined that company, there were just a few dozen employees. And over a little bit more than a decade that I was there, we grew the company to 4,000 people, and you know, we ended up providing services to about 12 million small businesses and entrepreneurs. So we developed a knack for enabling people to start businesses and to create jobs, and it's sort of that same approach is what I'm going to take to the governor's office. But importantly, we have to cheerlead and evangelize for Arizona and celebrate the great stuff that's going on here and go outside of the state and look CEOs in the eyes and say, let me tell you why Arizona is your wisest choice, and get some of these companies that are leaving California and flying to Texas and Florida and, you know, the other states, get them to come here and settle and invest in Arizona. And we can do that if we really are affirmative about it, and we approach these companies and share with them what you and I already know, which is that Arizona really is a great place to be.
It really is a great place to be, and a lot of the perception, though, among some places in the United States is that that we're not friendly to all people here, and that's a perception, Christine, that really does hurt us when it comes to tourism.
It has hurt us a lot, and you see advertisements for other states, people in Hawaii and New York and, different states advertising for their tourism industry, which we can and should do outside of Arizona as well. But we have to share that Arizona is not a place where you should be afraid to come if you look different. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, we have a bit of a love affair going with Mexico. They're our single largest trading partner, and as long as people immigrate legally, we welcome them here. You know, we have a long history of legal immigration in this state, and the immigrants are part of the fabric of the very foundation of Arizona. So my goal and my priority as governor really is to get the message out about the truth of Arizona, not what the liberal media tries to make it, not what liberal politicians try to make it. And, we have to be honest with ourselves. They've been pretty effective at pitting us against each other and coming up with these black eyes for Arizona, but I'm kind of done with that. I kind of think it's time for us to move forward with a goal and an agenda and a vision, and to say, here's where we're going to go in this state. We're going to focus on economic development. We're going to focus on education. We're not going to let ourselves go down bunny trails, but we're really going to focus on doing policy work that's meaningful and, do it with cooperation and great leadership.
We're speaking with Christine Jones, Republican candidate for governor. If you were the governor right now, Christine, how would you be handling this this sweepstakes to get the electric car manufacturer Tesla to bring their operation to the Grand Canyon state?
First thing I'd do is get on a plane and go talk to Elon Musk and say, look, I speak your language. I'm a technologist. Let me tell you why you should come to Arizona. Let me talk to you about all of the graduates who are graduating out of our state universities that have technology and math degrees. Let me tell you about the technology community that already exists here. And then let's talk about why you should be here, because we have more natural resources than any other state, and we have more land, and it's not very expensive. And, there are so many things to recommend that a battery producer come here. The other thing is, they're very nervous about their technology and their proprietary trade secrets. We don't have the concentration risk that they have down in the Southeast that they're trying to get away from, where they worry about espionage, corporate espionage, people stealing their secrets. We don't have that here. We are a great place for them to be. And frankly, we want them to come here and create jobs for the people in Arizona. So my priority would just be go look him in the eye. He is a very smart guy, if you know anything about him, and just say, you and I speak the same language. We speak technology. Let's go make this thing great together.
We're worried, of course, here in Southern Arizona about our economic future, and we look to Mexico. We're positioned very nicely here, 60 miles north of the border. Sonora's booming their economy. What can you say to the voters of Southern Arizona that you would do to improve relations with Mexico and Sonora?
Well, if you've been on my website, you also know that I just celebrated 20,000 miles of traveling around the state and getting outside of Maricopa County and talking to the very people that you're referring to. What I've learned from being at the border and talking to people in your community is that we have to improve trade relations with Mexico. Part of this is going to have to be the governor of Arizona going and making up with the federal government in Mexico. The state governors and the state and local community governments in Mexico are important too, but we have some amends to make with the federal government there, and I'm perfectly happy to go do that. We have an office in Mexico that we can use to bridge that gap, and I think we ought to take it seriously, because one of the things I aim to do is really focus on water policy and energy policy, two things we've not done in this state in a long time, to make Arizona a producer and an exporter of energy. There's a huge market in Mexico to buy energy from us, and frankly, it puts us in a little bit of a favorable position with respect to water, too. So it's something that I think we can do, and frankly, I don't have any strings to any of the bad blood that's gone before us, so I'm really ready to go out and offer that olive branch and just say, let's be trade partners. Let's help you help me help you, and I'll help me help you, and we'll all get along together. And I think they're ready to have that conversation. They just want to have it with somebody who they know is appreciative of their efforts.
A quick question from a caller who did not want to go on the air, but the caller wants to know what you would do, Christine, to help with getting Pima County its share, increasing the highway user funds rather than keeping them up in Phoenix, getting them to the counties where they belong.
Yeah, great question. There's two things I think we should do and be disciplined about. One is returning highway user revenue funds back to the local cities, and so that mayors and city councils have the ability to direct those funds to the way that they make sense in their local communities. That's what those monies are collected for, and that's how they should be used. The second thing is, over the last number of years, the legislature has had a tendency to kind of hoard decision-making and hoard power up in Maricopa County. And frankly, that's not helpful to the people in southern Arizona, because there's no way for somebody sitting in Maricopa County to know what's best for those local communities. They don't walk the streets. They don't look the neighbors in the eyes. The local governments know how to make those decisions and how to direct what's going on there. And frankly, if we're being honest with ourselves, and I really try to do that, if you look back historically, local communities thrived when they got to plan and make their own way. When it started to get bad was when the government started to tell them what to do. Yeah. It's never the best formula. So my commitment would be give you your money back and give you your decision-making power back and get the government out of your way and let you create your way into the future.
All right. That's Christine Jones. You can go to her website, ChristineJones.com. She's running for governor. Have a great day over there in Clifton in eastern Arizona, Christine.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Wake up Tucson tomorrow with Chris and Joe, then 8 to 9 o'clock. It's the new talk show, Chris and the Daily Double. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.